And we feel the person who had the strongest combination of the guide and the camera challenge was. And congratulations, Ben.
Good afternoon, everyone. Okay, good. My sound, you can hear me, yeah?
Yes.
Great. My sound settings seem to like shift and revert every time I sign in. So I need to always double check them. How is everybody doing today?
Good.
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 Where is everybody?
Okay, it's just noon. Though I worked with somebody who once, well, this is not a meeting, so it's different, but I worked with somebody who once used to say that if you arrive at 10 o'clock for a 10 o'clock meeting, you're late.
Well, except there's a Jewish 10 o'clock.
This was actually in a Jewish setting.
Oh.
He said, if you arrive for at 10 o'clock for a 10 o'clock meeting, you're late. That is not directed at you, Susan Trivers. We were talking about something as you came in the room. You should not think, oh my God. We were just talking about like people coming and this isn't a meeting, but his point was like, if the meeting starts at 10, you need to be there, a meeting like business, right? You need to be there before so that it can actually start at 10 if you walk in at 10.
So is there a different culture for a Zoom meeting or a, you know?
part of the Zoom culture is like, I can't sign on, my Wi-Fi doesn't work, my kids are using it, so whatever. But I guess IRL in real life, people would say, oh, there was traffic on Wheelie Avenue. And it's like, there's always traffic on Wheelie Avenue at 6 o'clock, leave earlier. But, you know, so now it's like, oh, my bandwidth isn't big enough and whatever.
I was on a call this morning at 7:30. So after 4 hours of that, I had to actually take a nap so I could come to this.
So, 4 hours. Oof.
Yeah, well, it's work, so I'm not complaining.
I think I read someplace that people are more exhausted now, which
it's
is
a, well, it's a different kind of exhaustion. It's exactly why we're gathering here right now. I think when we run, like when we're out physically in the cars running around, I think there's actually still a spiritual exhaustion, but we're so physically tired from moving and running and keeping track of like the next place that we have to be that we just talk it up. We just chalk it up to physical exhaustion and ignore the spiritual component of it. And now we're not moving, like we're not running to places. There's no traffic. But it's still exhausting, and it's not because it's exhausting physically, it's because it's exhausting emotionally and spiritually. And so, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And absolutely. So we can actually look at the spiritual component that needs to be attended to, or the mindful component, right? Like, how do you take a breath? How do you, you know, a 2-hour meeting on Zoom is like a 2-hour meeting in person's a pain. Right. But you would sit in person and you would just like get up and go to the restroom if you needed. And everybody would know that's why you walked out for a minute. It's okay. You can't do that on Zoom unless you plan it. Right. So remember, what was it? 2 weeks ago, I talked about like how to be mindful and present on Zoom. And some of it is like establishing the acceptable parameters of the group when you're on, when you come on. So I can say like anybody who needs to get up and move, like just do it. But right, especially in business or more formal settings, like to know that, oh, I'm gonna, you know, if I turn my computer, if my video off, like, is that okay? Is that acceptable? Because I need 5 minutes. I need to walk away, but I'm still listening, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Well, let's sit for a minute. We're gonna come back today, I think, to some more basic mindfulness practice. I feel like over the last few weeks, I've been talking about a particular thing. And I thought today we would come back to just some more actual practice, though I'll probably talk a lot or talk too much, I don't know. So I'll just invite you to let go of wherever you were. Susan took a nap, you know, so, but you know, whatever you've just come from, whatever that is, to just be present to where you are right now and to just sit. You can lower your gaze, close your eyes, turn off your phone, you know, try and have not other distractions. I will actually put you all on mute. So if you have distractions of your own, that's fine, but all your distractions won't distract others. You'll just have your own distractions, but you can hear me. And just sit with your breath, things will arise. You may notice physical discomforts or racing thoughts or whatever, and see if you can just for this moment, just like be with them. Don't try and control them or judge them or push them or pull them, and just like let yourself settle into this time that we have together for a moment. And you might have even found yourself saying, oh, more. Like, let that go too. And we'll sit more together today. So I was thinking about, as I said at the beginning, a little bit more of coming back to some just baseline mindfulness practice. And I was thinking about it in terms of how we can be curious with what's happening in ourselves to create clarity, and how this practice can be helpful in the idea of adaptation, right? Biology happens, right? There's adaptation because species change over time as they get better suited to their environment. And that's sometimes quick and sometimes a long evolutionary process. And some of it, like the evolution part, is the long part, biologically, physically, but there's also things that we do with our bodies. Like we don't decide to treat or not treat, say, a broken bone, right? And let it heal on its own. And that too is an adaptive stance, right? The things that we've learned, the cures that we're searching for right now, like for our physical selves. So there's short-term and long-term adaptation in caring for, taking care of our bodies. And so I was thinking also about, like, what about adaptation of the spirit? Like, there may be the long-term adaptation, but some of our work can even be short-term, because if we don't adapt, if we don't find flexibility in our spirit and sustenance for our spirits will suffer. They'll get crushed like a bone and they won't heal. And, you know, I don't know if some people are better at it, because I don't like the better and worse at it. You know, maybe that work comes easier for some than others. But again, you know, this isn't about judging others, but just how we can be present in ourselves so that we can navigate the world and life and be productive and live in God's image. It's big, a tall order, but we can only start one step at a time. So mindfulness helps us, I think, like a practice of some sort helps us manage that one step at a time. The word hitlamdut in Hebrew is a reflexive form of the verb that comes from the word lamed, to learn. And so it's about the idea of hitlamdut, about learning about oneself. I would use to describe sort of this inner stance of curiosity and openness in what's going on in ourselves, to be open into life's experiences, and then to internalize what we learn. So it's like this spiritual flow of being open, of taking in, of being open. And so I would say Jewishly, like, that's what mindfulness is, right? It's being in that, being open to attending to that flow. Habit and rote, I think, are the things that undermine spiritual openness, spiritual growth. You know, even think about if we were to even think of the terms of Torah study, whether you study Torah or not, but just the idea that we read our Torah, the whole scroll, every year, and we come back to the same portion. And we could say, oh, I heard that before. I don't need to hear that again. Like, I know that. Or we can approach it with, oh, we're reading this again. I wonder what else is in there. What new eyes I've got. What new experiences I have that I now see this text differently, right? How a different detail or the same detail relates differently to our lives. So that experience of hitlamdut, of ongoing, in chaplaincy work, we used to talk about action reflection. And so it's the cycle of opening ourselves. And the fact that this sort of curiosity of the self, curiosity of life and curiosity of the self, also is from just our own experiences. Because we experience all kinds of things all day long. The way people speak with us, good and bad, family, friends do or don't do what we ask of them, things that happen at work, somebody pays attention to what we do, storm knocks out power. Like there's a million things that happen to us all day long. A lot of these things may like whoosh right over us and we don't even pay attention to them. And those are potentially missed, not that we want to hyper-focus on every little thing, but like they're also potentially missed opportunities for learning a little bit of something about ourselves. Like even in that instant when the power goes out, like what is your, like just to notice what your very first reaction is, right? What's the first thing that arises for you? And because that's instructive, right? That's instructive for ourselves. It's not for anybody else, but that's instructive for us. And so this capacity, like cultivating this capacity of hit lam dut, of not hyper-examining ourselves, but just being open to like, oh, all these things happen. And we're bounced in and out of experiences all day long. And we have the opportunity, we can't change the experiences, but we have the opportunity to see and notice how they shape us and then control. That's the control. The control is then how we respond to how they shape us, right? Because I can pay attention to, you know, if every time the power goes out, like my instant response is, oh, or like, where's the flower? Like that kind of thing. Well, like that's instructive, not just about the power going out, but like, how do I deal with like that moment of change? And do I stay in that space or do I, it's like, oh, and then I can shift out of that. And do I want to like have that tension even for a moment? Like that's my choice. Do I want to even feel that tension for a moment? Or can I practice to go, and examine it? And when I can do it in that situation, then I can extend that to another situation. And those are the choices we have. And hit lam dut and Jewish mindfulness, I'm gonna call it, right? Gives us that, gives us those opportunities. It's about saying like, what is happening in this moment? What is true in this moment? And I go back to the biology because for a lot of us, more than I think most of us realize, and I know I have you all muted, you can unmute yourself. So anytime you wanna like jump in or ask something or say something, just like unmute, wave, we're gonna sit some more. But so the body, there's a lot of stuff that we take, that we hold and take in our bodies that we don't even realize. And so that is often like the first place to notice, like, am I hot? Am I cold? Is there pressure? Where am I feeling pressure? Is it my stomach? Is my chest? Is my throat? Is it moving? Is it pulsing? Like kind of when you go to the doctor, what kind of pain is this? But we're not just talking about pain. Like, you know, is it throbbing pain, burning pain, shooting pain? But what are you feeling? Does it seem stuck? Is it pleasant, unpleasant, neither? That's an amazing question we ask ourselves because we generally tend to characterize it right away. And maybe it's just pleasant and unpleasant and it's not who we are. Right? It's just something that we're experiencing. And so like noticing the body first helps to pay attention to like what is causing all those things in our body. Like what are the things that are happening to us? What is the narrative that is going through our heads? What are the habits perhaps that we are in? So this paying attention gives us the opportunity to observe patterns, to observe habits, to gain space and vision, viewing of them, so that we can actually sit back and go, I wonder if that really works for me. Like I do this all the time, and is that actually serving me? Or when this happens, I notice that, you know, my shoulder blade is like, or it like, is this good for me? Is this not good for me? And that we can evaluate, like that we can get clarity on. So there's, you know, it's almost like an art of discernment, right? We can sit and consider habits, thoughts, behaviors, patterns that are helpful, that may not serve our deeper values, and strengthen the things that really do serve who and what we want to be. And to see like this habitual mind that we have, what triggers us. So as we can begin just simply with noticing, with finding healing as we learn to observe, notice internally our bodies, our feelings, our thoughts, the silence can minimize the outside distraction and develop some, I want to say concentration, but it's not about a grasping concentration. It's more about like a noticing of just what is here right now without everything else. Resting our attention on the breath sort of allows that, because our mind comes and goes, it can often help the mind settle down because there's not like other stimulation. For some people, words are helpful. For some people, breath is helpful. So some of it is just finding what won't drive you to think about something else and what will sort of let you settle the mind, because the settled mind isn't empty. It's just spacious. It's stable and able to see what is happening inside of it. It's not meant to like clear it out. It's meant to sort it out. I kind of think of, you know, if you ever had to do a computer cleanup or a defragmentation of your hard drive, or like think about, you know, cleaning out your spice drawer or something, like to let all the pieces settle into a place where you can actually see them clearly, and then everything isn't all over and covering one another. So it's not about emptying out, but about settling out and sorting out. So before we go into another period of sitting, noticing our bodies, our breath, our posture, as I said, like what's comfortable, what's uncomfortable, what sensations are happening in our minds, in our hearts. Before I do that, is there anything that anybody wanted to like check in about or ask about before we do that? Sandy, okay.
So the sorting out, you don't do, it just happens?
I would like to think about, it's like taking a step back and just noticing what arises, not trying to analyze the thing that you're trying to figure out, but to just be with, to notice more of your experience around what is coming up for you. It's not so much the discernment of I have to solve this problem, because that's like also important work, right? Like how do we sit with an issue before us? It's sort of the spaciousness of getting, of just clearing the mind, cleaning the mind of all the distractions that then allows us to see situations more clearly. Does that make sense?
Oh, it's the distractions you get rid of.
Yeah, it's like to notice all the things that come up for us that in fact are distractions, to say, oh, like, and that's a distraction, or this serves me, or just the practice of sort of letting all of that be without chasing down our thoughts. It's like the afterburn in exercise, right? We do the cardio, you get your heart up enough that there's even like continued reverberation after you're done. And in that reverberation, there's space for your body to metabolize stuff. In this case, there's space for us to potentially see what actually is in front of us or what we need to do more clearly, and to recognize maybe like, oh, that what I was paying so much attention to really isn't that important, or here's what I need to notice, or here's what my body carries. So having this kind of space and sitting and sort of letting everything just be without actually trying to organize it, it would be It would be like looking at the totally messy closet, right, with all the stuff in it, before you start taking everything out and just noticing what's in, like in the big picture, what's in there. And not like, you know, so many of us do, right? You notice what's in there and then like, oh no, there's a photo album. Oh my God. And you take it out, you start looking at it. And 3 hours later, you've done nothing with the closet, right? Okay. So like, oh, that's there. Wow. I should look at that. Like at some point, it's not even the should, like get the shoulds out. That's judgment too. Look at that. That's there. So it's about just sort of being with what is true right in this moment, because the afterburn of that is growing clarity of how we just see whatever is arising in our lives in that present moment. So we're less dragged by our circumstances, we're less reactive, and we can be more responsive. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, well, so be comfortable still, again. Just noticing without judging, what's happening in your body? What are those sensations? Where is the chair? Where are your feet? Thoughts will arise because you'll probably, you know, you may start to like then notice your feet, and then you think about the shoes you're wearing and then the shoes you haven't bought, and oh, and then just let that like come back. Okay, I'm noticing my shoes. And then just come back to being in a place of sort of breathing and settledness. And it, you know, for some people it's once, for some people it's like a million times, it's like just running back and forth. But the breathing through it and the allowing yourself to then step and be the witness, step and be curious, like, oh, that I'm learning about myself. I have a lot of these distracted thoughts. Or, I think I see that I might be worried about. You don't have to do anything about it now. But that's where the clarity comes, because sometimes as our thoughts run one after, I do not remember dreams. I'm like, but I wonder if it's sometimes like remembering dreams. Right there, it's our subconscious bubbling up that that says there's something here to think about, there's something here to pay attention to. But you don't have to do it right now, you don't have to pay attention to it right now, you're just allowing it to be there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of. So let's sit for a little bit. I'm going to mute us all, so you only get to sit with your own noises or distractions at home, and notice what they are, and there they are. I'm wondering if anybody wants to say, ask, or share anything before we go on. Phyllis, yeah.
I had two reactions. One, as I was sitting, I came up with a solution to a minor problem, but something that was bothering me was like, aha. And then after that, things became very, very quiet. And I realized, even though I'm living alone and the TV isn't on and the radio isn't on, it's so noisy in my mind that it's not quiet. And suddenly it was so quiet. It was lovely.
Wow. Thank you.
I had a similar thought. I like what you just said. It was noisy in your mind, but I was characterizing it as a lot of traffic in my mind. You know, just stuff coming through, going, coming, going. I wasn't even trying to think about anything. It was a mix. Some of what the noise I hear outside, there's birds outside, but then other things. So like traffic, and let the traffic go, right? Leave an empty road for a few minutes.
And it can take time. Like, and it's okay. Like some of you may go, the traffic never stopped. And that's okay too. Right. Linda.
You mentioned dreams, and I once in a while do remember dreams, and had one a couple weeks ago, and it was, the buildings were back at Goucher College where I went, but the people weren't the right people at the time that I was there. But when you said dream, somehow I remembered that whole thing, and I remembered the building I was in, and I remembered my college friends, but I don't know how come I remember that dream now. By just sitting quietly. But I did hear traffic. There's a mail truck came by, and that's normal at this time of day. But the rest of the time, I told Steve to stay upstairs and be quiet, and the dog's quiet, and it's I was working in my garden before, and so I'll go back to that later, but I'm looking outside at green and grass, and it gives me pleasure. I'm planting tomatoes and peppers, and hopefully I'm the only one in my neighborhood that always plants, and now I think they're starting to emulate me.
I was thinking about, when I wasn't concentrating on my breathing, something that occurs at about 3 o'clock every day. This is a conversation on the equivalent of FaceTime with my mom and my sister. So it's kind of rote. And I know I'm just flooded with emotions, which usually makes me just want to eat everything in sight as soon as it's over. But I'm thinking that this would be just a good opportunity to apply what you're talking about and see during the conversation, you know, kind of like taking a selfie. What is going on that makes it, you know, such a profound emotional experience. So I'm thinking that that's what was coming to my mind. And unlike Musar, where, you know, there might be something I want to work on to improve, you know, differentiating that from this, maybe just again, trying to feel what's going on inside of me.
That's taking a selfie.
Yep.
This is a great tool for Musar, right? Because it gives us spaciousness to then, if we're, you know, sitting with a particular, that this hitlam dut, this self-learning, the spaciousness for self-learning about a particular, the play or role of a particular midah, particular character value in our lives. So what I wanted to just, what I wanted to just sort of wrap up with, and then maybe sit one more time because we can together. In thinking about mindfulness for adaptability, right, for adapting to our times, I was thinking about our breath, right? How much our breath is is, you know, it's the core of what we are. And of course, Hebrew gives us some beautiful word plays, because breath and soul are all, the words for breath and soul are all intertwined. We've used the term, and you may have seen it in other things, an underlying principle of that we're trying to be mindful of in all of our decisions is pikuach nefesh, right? The saving of a life principle overrides all of Jewish law. But this idea of nefesh is also one of the words, like nefesh is one of the words for soul. It's also, it's one of the words, the idea that the soul is the breath, right? God in Genesis 2, God forms man, Adam. God forms Adam from the dust of the earth and blows into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. And Adam becomes a living being. So this idea of nefesh and then of neshama, soul, and nishima to lean shom is to breathe. Like this intertwining of just our breathing, our sitting and breathing, and allowing our soul to be, that is where we can find a place, I think, of adaptability in this work of using our breath to allow us to become adaptable, flexible, noticing what is happening around us and being able to shift, to notice our internal landscape and be able to respond differently by having that spaciousness, by having that clarity, using the breath, using the soul to be aware of what arises in us, perhaps to be aware of the emotions, Karen, right? The anticipatory emotions of something, of a call coming up, right? And to just experience that as emotion, but not be the despair or anxiety around it itself. And so we get in that way, that's where we get to choose. That's where we get to respond rather than react. So I'd like to invite us to sit together one more time. It's a good accountability, like when we're together, right? I know I'm looking at the time. I don't like to go over 45 minutes. I think that's what I promised. And this time to hold the sacredness of your breath as a way that enables that flow of hitlamdut, of noticing what's arising, noticing what's passing, noticing what's coming in, and just sort of being present to that flow of what's coming in and out of us. Our breath carries it, but it's also the experiences and the stimuli and the stuff that's arising and that's coming in as well. So to just like let all of that sit with all of us for another few minutes. So I'll leave us with words of Psalm 150, the very last line of Psalms. Kol ha-neshama tehalelya, hallelujah. Every soul, every breath praises God. Kol ha-neshama tehalelya, hallelujah. Have a great rest of your day. Looks like it's getting warmer.
Thank you.
The sun's coming out, so it's out back outside.
Come in. Blessings to all of you. See you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. It's good to see all of you.
Thank you.
It's good to connect with everybody.
Yes.
Yep.
Be safe, y'all.